again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and we are broadcasting from 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And our guest today is Chief Lieb from the Woodstock Police Department. Chief, welcome to Around Town.
Hi, Mr. Giordano. It's good to see you.
Well, Chief, it's kind of a sad time right now, and I know you'd like to speak about what recently took place.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know your listeners can't see it, but at the moment, I and all my officers are wearing black bands across our badges. Yet again, recently there was a Chicago police officer who was serving honorably and then finished her shift, was headed on her way home when she was murdered. Chicago PD has determined that this, they've said that this will be a line of duty death due to the nature of the crime. Apparently this was part of a crime spree. I mean, there are many more details to be discovered, but there are, this will be a line of duty death. It's a tragedy, and my thoughts and prayers go out to the family of this fallen officer. You know, she was from my understanding, a bright light, you know, all the way to not only serving honorably, but going to get her master's degree diploma just this coming weekend. And so, very sad. It's a reminder that this profession of policing at times can be extremely dangerous. There are many people out there that have no consideration in committing their crimes, it always impresses me that there are brave young Americans who are willing to put on the uniform and do their best to protect their communities day in and day out.
Thank you, Chief. I think everybody feels the same way about that, and I'm sure that there'll be more that'll be said about this case in the future. In the meantime, I wanted to ask you about the current status of the Safety Act.
Yes, sir. So, you know, again, this all over these past few years where we've seen a significant amount of changes in policing due to the events of the past few years, whether it's COVID related or other social reform issues, you know, we've seen quite a bit of changes. Illinois, a couple years ago, passed the Safety Act, SAFE-T Act, it's an acronym, and a majority of the changes that were passed during that time were related to police. The types of things that the police are required to do, what they can't do, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Okay.
There was a significant amount of concern in the community and in the police administration realm across the state that had significant concerns about the act itself. Police were not consulted in the creation of the Safety Act. After it was passed into law, a lot of discussions took place. This particular piece of legislation required two trailer bills, not one, but two, to help put a lot of the aspects into, to make them legal.
The things that were left
constitutional.
Out.
Right. And so the two that affected the police the most, now that have been after a couple trailer bills, the two that affect us the most are the duty to render aid and the duty to intervene, where it makes it now a legal mandate for those two aspects. The duty to render aid, if we see someone who is in need of medical assistance, we are required by law to get them that medical assistance. The duty to intervene is if an officer observes another officer using excessive force or denying someone's constitutional rights, we have a duty to intervene. Like I said, those are now law. The good news is, in Woodstock, we've been doing that from the beginning. The type of officers we have, the type of police force we have, that's what we've done all along. So it wasn't a big change for us. Another big aspect of the initial Safety Act and the first two trailer bills was the body-worn cameras. And they're in the legislation, it dictates when departments had to deploy their body-worn cameras on their officers. When it was first put into legislation, I believe a lot of the legislators down in Springfield felt as though they would catch a lot of officers doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing. In Woodstock, we deployed our cameras way before this. We deployed them back in 2017. So we're not in the process of trying to deploy our cameras. We deployed them years ago. And I can tell you that the cameras have been nothing but beneficial to our police department in not only showing how professional our officers are, but there is a change in citizens during interactions where they see that camera is on and rolling. They tend to behave a little bit better. And of course, the most significant thing is the gathering of evidence or video evidence. Time and time again, it all the way from the gathering of that video evidence into the courtroom, it's beneficial.
And it also serves as protection for that officer, because if you get into a he said, she said situation, you've got the camera for video evidence to protect that officer.
You are absolutely correct. And time and time again, that's there for us. Now, Mr. Giordano, the big aspect right now that's going on currently, so those are passed, those are in effect, and we have abided by the law. That's what we're the police. That's what okay. Springfield has said. However, what's currently going on is there's this aspect of the what they were calling the Pretrial Fairness Act, or some people call it the Cashless Bail Act. This last big chunk of the Safety Act really affects the courtroom, the state's attorney's office, and the courtrooms, where a lot of discretion was taken from the judges and a lot of burden was being put upon the state's attorney's office and then indirectly to the police departments, because we were going to have to adapt and provide a lot of information in a very short period of time to the courts in whether to hold this person or not. The Pretrial Fairness Act, in a nutshell, there's a whole lot more to it, but it was essentially for most crimes that we used to take people to be held until seen by a judge. The thinking is that with this new Pretrial Fairness Act, is folks would be released on their own personal recognizance and told to show up for court. The constitutionality of that act was challenged. Our state's attorney here, I think it was 39 different state's attorneys joined a lawsuit. The McHenry County State's Attorney, Pat Keneally, he joined that lawsuit, and they at the last minute, it was supposed to go into effect January 1st. At the very last minute, they were able to get a stay, and that case. So it did not go into effect January 1st. We were ready for it and prepared to act, but it is now in the legal process up to the Illinois Supreme Court to make a decision. I believe they had the hearing for it. I don't know if they call Sure. it a hearing, but they've argued their case to the Illinois Supreme Court. I believe that was in March, and we are still waiting to hear what comes out of that. Had a discussion with, let me rephrase. There were a few representatives of the state attorney's office at the last McHenry County Chiefs of Police Association meeting to give us an update. And so we thought we were going to get quite a bit of information, and it was basically a briefing on, well, we haven't heard anything yet. It could come tomorrow. It could come next month. So we don't know yet.
Well, it's difficult because you don't know if it's a good guy or a bad guy that is not going to have bond and be back on the street again. So it makes it very, very difficult to determine what's right and what's wrong in a situation like that.
Right. You know, we've had a system here in McHenry County and across the state from our perspective that has worked. It's not a perfect system. However, it has worked for the county, and sometimes it gets for myself, not for others. It can get frustrating when Springfield passes laws in the dead of night at the last minute, and it's we're at the whim of state lawmakers who are concentrated mostly in the major metropolitan area of Illinois.
We're going to pause for a minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, WHRULP. We are talking with Chief Leap, the Woodstock Police Chief. Chief, going into some of the other programs, I know you have the homeless program in Woodstock and also the drone program. Would you like to touch on that briefly?
Absolutely. So getting a little bit closer to home, you know, talking about the state after, you know, the Safety Act and stuff like that, you know, we are very fortunate here in McHenry County where we do have, compared to other counties and municipalities, Woodstock is well-resourced. We're well-supported by our council and well-resourced. I know there are several municipalities that have implemented a drone program. Truth be told, I was asked to implement one probably about 6 or 7 years ago. I didn't think the technology was quite there yet, but we've seen significant advancements in drone technology, as well as some of the costs with that technology going down. My leadership team at Woodstock PD encouraged me to go down this route, and so we put it in our capital improvement budget for this fiscal year, May 1st through April 30th of 2024, to implement a drone program. And so in the very near future, we intend on purchasing two drones, one that can be flown outside and one that is more of a tactical drone that can be flown inside locations. If we had had that program up and running, we had an incident in our city not too long ago where somebody was suffering a mental health issue, and we had decent amount of information of what was going on inside the house. However, including we had a high degree of confidence that firearms were inside the residence. And so instead of sending a human asset into the residence, it would have been tactically sound to send that drone in to try to get intelligence on what was going on inside that location. So now we'll have to acquire them. On top of that, we'll have to, we've put it out to our officers on who is, asked them who is interested in becoming a certified drone pilot. We have several that have expressed interest, and so we'll have to train them up and then deploy the program.
That sounds great. A very interesting program.
Absolutely.
And how about ILEAP accreditation program, Chief?
So ILEAP accreditation, it's something that we have wanted to do for years. Accreditation, you know, some people ask me, why do you want to get accredited as an agency? And to me, what it is not that Woodstock PD is faltering at all. As a matter of fact, I think we're thriving. But at the same time, I think we might be missing some opportunities in different policies and procedures in instead of being insular and just knowing we're doing right, let's open up the doors, if you will, and bring in professionally trained accreditors who will take a look at our practices and our policies to see if we're really doing the best. We can always do better. And so with them coming in, taking a look at what we do, how we do it, and offering suggestions, and sometimes a little bit more than a suggestion, that just makes us a better police department, and makes us more professional, makes us less liable, and that's what, to me, what the citizens of Woodstock want and need.
Well, it's a good idea because you can never stop learning. It's always a good positive position to take, Chief. You want to tell me about your donation by your officers for the splash pad?
Oh, my gosh. You know me. I have a military background, and in a clean-shaven look was what has always been part of my realm. And fast forward to today's era and the current generation of officers, the male officers, of course, they love their beards. And so one of my deputy chiefs is a big fan of beards. And he twisted my arm a few years ago to do a no-shave November. And there was a lot of arm twisting, I can tell you. I finally said yes because he said, we'll run the program where we'll collect donations that will allow officers to grow a beard for the month. That was the first year. Like I said, we've done it for several years now. And it's expanded over time from November, okay, let them keep their beards through December. Okay, well, there's more donations. And every single penny that we collect from these donations goes to a charitable cause, whether it's Shop with a Cop or, a sheltered village we gave to them 1 year. This latest time, even though it's a program born out of tragedy, there was a young woman who worked for the city of Woodstock for, I believe, over 20 years out at the Woodstock Waterworks, Melissa O'Leary. I don't think I ever had the opportunity to meet her, but unfortunately she passed away a couple years ago. What the city of Woodstock is doing is building a splash pad out at the waterworks in her name. And so they are collecting donations for this effort. And the deputy chief asked if we could, if the officers, not me, they always try to get me to grow a mustache.
Don't do that, Chief. I've seen you with a mustache. It's sad. It's really sad. So don't do it.
Yeah, it's not a good look. So anyway, when he came to me and said, "Hey, can the officers keep their beards through March?" And all that money that we collect will go to the Melissa O'Leary Splash Pad Memorial Fund.
Is there a goal for that, Chief?
I believe, in my mind, I think the number was around 45,000 was the amount that they needed or that they're driving toward.
So how do I donate? If you've got a beard, how do I donate to the person with the beard?
Well, our program is now over. All of my officers are back to being, they're kind of grumpy with me, but they're back to being clean shaven. But with the nice weather out, I think they're okay with it. Our aspect of the No Shave November, December, January, February, March is now over. And with the donated funds, and for our portion, our officers and those, we opened this part of it open to everybody. So if one of the, even if you weren't growing a beard, if you wanted to donate, you could. And we would give it in the name of the police department and the No Shave participants. We donated over $1,500 toward the effort.
That's great. When you collected that money, so someone's donating to that particular officer, that's how it works, and he then turns it into the master pool.
Well, that's the catch, was that if the officer wanted to keep his beard, he voluntarily was asked to provide a donation to the cause.
Ah, I see a little arm twisting there. Okay, very clever way of collecting money. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
But that's really good. Before we run out of time, Chief, did you want to talk about the community outreach?
Sure.
Program?
Woodstock has always been a vibrant community, but there's this renewed effort by the new council leadership that is really putting a lot of energy into getting the community together and hosting a lot of events. As you may know, the Square Farmers Market is back outside. They go over to the county fairgrounds during the winter, and then they come into the Woodstock Square during the summer.
Right.
And that is such an attraction for thousands of people that travel quite a distance to visit the Woodstock Square.
Well, it's been rated the top farmers market in the state.
I wasn't aware of that, but I've been out there a few times, and whether it's on, they host it Tuesdays and Saturdays, whether it's a Tuesday or a Saturday, it's always busy, but it's just such a wonderful community event. However, when we do have a lot of people that come into town, we always make sure we have a police presence there. So even if it's the farmers market where we don't expect anything to happen, we always have a presence there. We're doing other things the police department has put a renewed effort into our National Night Out. We've tried different models of National Nights Out. And right now, one of our sergeants, Sergeant Jeremy Mortimer, has really taken the lead on that. Last year, he knocked it out of the ballpark. Where we had many, many people. He hosted it back at the Woodstock Waterworks, and had all kind of like touch a truck type stuff, games, food, such an awesome event. This year, it's held on the second Tuesday of August, the first Tuesday of August. This year, August 1st, at the Woodstock Waterworks. will be Woodstock's National Night Out.
Okay, great. That's good to know. For the folks to know about that too, and it just shows how much more this is going on in the city and what's taking place, Chief. And I just want to say that we want to thank you again for coming on the show. We want to have you again in like 2 or 3 months. Come back and give us a recap what's going on in Woodstock, if you would please.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, for all you folks out there, you've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to Huntley Community Radio and contact us. Click on Contact Us there, and you'll get all the information you need. In the meantime, have a great day. For everybody, for the Chief of Woodstock and myself, take care.